Chapter 10. On the day the big bad wolf was sentenced to die, it rained. Buckets of water spilled from dull black clouds and flooded the streets. The town's sewer system backed up, and the water that didn't make it to the nearby river flowed through the tiny hamlet without restraint. Granny Relda wrapped herself in a rain jacket. Uncle Jake stood beside her, holding an umbrella over her head. Sabrina recognized it as the same umbrella Mr. Canis had held over her the day she and Daphne arrived in Ferryport Landing. At first, the children were told they had to stay home. Then Granny seemed to realize they'd sneak out anyway, and so she agreed to let them come along to say goodbye, but they were not to watch the execution. Sabrina knew it might be the last chance she had to apologize to the man who had been her family's protector for almost 2 decades. She wanted to tell him how wrong she had been about him. He had never deserved her distrust. The family drove to Main Street in their old jalopy. Sabrina sat remembering the times she had had with Canis. For the first time, the chaos and noise of the car went unnoticed. They parked on a side street and walked up the block. In the center of Main Street, a large platform had been constructed. It had 2 levels. One was wide and close to the ground. The second was at the top of a tower, high above the other. A wooden beam held a noose above the second platform. A huge crowd had already gathered. Sabrina and her family moved to the front. Along the way, Everafters shouted angry comments and filthy words at them. The Grimms were a blight and a menace. They were disgusting and filthy humans. They were inferior and stupid and the cause of everyone's suffering. Bluebeard, Nottingham, Mayor Hart, and Charming appeared on the first platform. The crowd cheered their arrival and Hart waved like she was in a beauty pageant.
"We've waited a long time for this, haven't we?"
she shouted into her megaphone. Many in the crowd roared back at her. Most wore the mark of the Scarlet Hand. Hart raised her hand for their attention, then turned her gaze on the family.
"But trust me, people, today is just the beginning. Bring out the wolf!"
The crowd cheered and broke into a chant of, "Bring out the wolf!" Half a dozen card soldiers appeared with Canis in their midst. He towered over them, but they had swords, and Canis did not look as if he was going to put up a fight. The guards pushed him up to the second tower, and the Ace of Spades wrapped a noose around his thick, hairy neck.
"I'd like to speak to my friend," Granny said.
She pushed her way to the tower and climbed the stairs.
"You'll be up there yourself soon,"
someone shouted from the crowd. Sabrina watched her grandmother talk to Canis. She couldn't hear what she was saying, but it was obvious to her that Granny was begging him to break free and escape. He shook his head and spoke to her softly.
"What is she doing?"
a voice said from behind them. Sabrina turned and found Snow White.
"I think she's trying to convince him to make a run for it and kill anyone who gets in his way," Uncle Jake said.
"He doesn't seem to be listening,"
Snow said. "That's because he's smart," another voice said. This one belonged to Bluebeard, who was standing uncomfortably close to the beautiful teacher. "Personally, I think he's welcoming the opportunity to end his suffering. He's committed so many atrocities. It must be hard on his soul."
"You would know," Snow said.
Bluebeard's face turned crimson, but he calmed himself and even laughed.
"Indeed."
Sabrina couldn't stand to be near him any longer. She snatched her sister's hand, and together they climbed the tower to Granny and Canis.
"Girls, it's not safe," the old woman said.
"I need to say goodbye," Sabrina said.
"Me too,"
Daphne added.
"I have been very rude to you. I have never treated you with the respect you deserved,"
Sabrina said to Canis. Then she turned to her sister.
"It's a problem I have. I seem to treat everyone badly."
"You are young, Sabrina Grimm," Canis said. "Time will supply you with wisdom. I'm sorry I will not be around to see how you use it.
Daphne clung to Canis and hugged him tightly.
Goodbye, Tobias Clay.
Canis looked confused. That was your name before. You were a man once, free of the monster, Sabrina said. Canis shook his head.
A man? Is that true? I don't remember anything before the incident. Did I have a wife, children? Who was I?
We don't know,
Sabrina said. Mr. Canis seemed shocked.
If only I had known this.
Get your children down, now!
Hart bellowed through her megaphone. Granny said a final goodbye and ushered the girls down the steps. They were only halfway down when Hart began shouting again.
Does the prisoner have any final words?
Canis looked out at the crowd and laughed.
What's so funny, mongrel?
Hart shouted.
Look at all the monsters, he said.
Hart snarled and pulled a lever. The floor beneath Canis slid open and his body fell like a stone. Sabrina knew that looking would haunt her for the rest of her life, but she couldn't help herself. But Canis was not swinging from the end of a rope. In fact, he had landed on his feet on the ground. The rope was sliced in two, and a red quilled arrow was buried in the ground behind the platform. The crowd gasped and turned their attention away from the gallows. There, standing across the street, was Robin Hood, no longer in his suit and tie, but in a green shirt and brown tights. He was holding a bow with a second arrow trained on Mayor Hart. Little John stood next to him with a long wooden staff. Will Scarlet, Friar Tuck, and the rest of the merry men stood behind them.
We're back, Little John bellowed with a grin. Did you miss us?
Robin Hood waved to the crowd.
For those of you wondering, the Sherwood Group is officially closed for business. Don't worry about us. We'll find other jobs. You know what they say. Do what you love, and the money will come. I look forward to robbing all of you in the very near future.
That guy is so cool,
Puck said. Nottingham pulled his sword.
I'll kill you, Robin. This time I'll make sure of it.
He dashed into the crowd, pushing and shoving in his eagerness to get to Robin. The merry men rushed into the crowd as well, turning it into an enormous mob. Everyone was fighting. Members of the Scarlet Hand even fought one another. Uncle Jake pulled Briar to safety. Then he found Granny and the girls and did the same. Puck, however, flew over the crowd, smacking the tops of people's heads with his wooden sword.
We have to get out of here, Uncle Jake said, reaching into his pockets to arm himself with magical items.
What about Mr. Canis?
Daphne asked. Sabrina could see the huge man tossing people aside and roaring.
I think he's okay. Are we all here?
Granny asked. Sabrina scanned the crowd.
Where's Miss White?
In the chaos, it was obvious that even a trained self-defense teacher like Snow could be seriously injured. Sabrina shouted at Puck.
Hey, Dirtface! Find Snow White!
Puck nodded and zipped away. A moment later, he was back.
I found her! She's in trouble! Follow me!
The family raced after the flying boy. He took them a block away and down an alley. There, they found Ms. White being dragged away by Bluebeard.
Leave her alone!
Daphne shouted as they approached. Bluebeard sneered.
You people run along. Snow and I are going to have a little talk about manners.
Snow punched him in the face and he fell backward, but he sprang back to his feet almost immediately. He wrapped his arm around her neck and pulled a dagger from his pocket. He ran the tip along Snow's throat.
Stand back, folks. Let's not get excited. I'd hate for someone to lose their head,
Bluebeard said.
Snow and I need to come to an understanding. I am a patient man, but my patience has worn thin. I asked you out for a date and you rejected me. Do you know how that hurts?
You disgust me,
Snow cried.
See what I mean? That's just rude. I'm a very nice man, a pure gentleman who wanted to take you out for dinner, and this is how you treat me.
Sabrina heard someone running toward them. She spun around to find Charming approaching from the main street.
Billy!
Snow cried. Charming, Bluebeard said. Have they captured the wolf yet?
No, not yet,
Charming said. I was just having a conversation with Snow about how to respect other people, Bluebeard said.
I see. How is it going?
Not well. I wanted to give your ex a chance to redeem herself. She's no friend of the hand, what with her relationship with these lousy Grimms. I had hoped that if she were to get involved with me, it might save her life when the Master rises.
It's hopeless, Charming said. I've tried.
Billy, what are you saying?
Snow cried. Charming approached them and stared Snow hard in the face. You've got yourself into another situation, Snow.
William,
you don't mind if I have a little fun with her? Bluebeard asked. If you're done with her like you say you are, then you won't mind. Charming was still, then he nodded. He turned to walk back to the riot, but in a flash, there was a sword in his hand. He whipped around and plunged it into Bluebeard's side. The villain collapsed with the blade still in him. Snow broke free of his grasp and stumbled away. Bluebeard reached out for her, but then his eyes closed and he was still.
I didn't see that one coming,
Puck whispered to Sabrina. Snow was trembling when Charming pulled her to his side. You hate me, he said. I get that, and I would apologize, but I can't. I did all of this, the betrayal, the cruelty, joining this wretched hand. I did it all to save your life. Charming released her and turned to Granny. Canis has fled.
What? Where did he go?
Robin told him about Hatchet. Canis was furious, and he ran off, he said. Relda, he was injured and something inside snapped. I think the wolf is finally in charge.
Mom, if the wolf gets to Hatchet before we do, he'll kill him, Uncle Jake said.
Granny took Daphne's hand.
Do you still have that kazoo?
The little girl nodded.
It might be our only chance.
A caravan of cars raced through the twisting country roads of Ferryport Landing. In the first, there was Sabrina, Puck, and Daphne in the back, with Granny, Uncle Jake, and Briar Rose squeezed into the front. The second was driven by Snow White with Prince Charming in the passenger seat. Little John and his wooden staff took up the back seat. The third car held the rest of the merry men. Uncle Jake pushed the family car to the limit. Driving around the block was more than the old car should have been able to take, but Jake managed to get the vehicle over the speed limit. Small flickers of flame flashed from under the hood. Sabrina tried not to notice. She suspected her uncle and grandmother were doing the same. Next to her, Daphne held the kazoo. She turned it over and over, studying every part of it. Daphne caught her staring and mouthed that she was preparing herself. No one could have a conversation in the noisy car. Soon they found the entrance to Hatchetland. Uncle Jake slid into an empty parking spot and turned off the ignition. Everyone leaped out and gathered together.
Do you think we beat him here?
Robin asked. Somewhere down the path, Hatchet screamed, and there was a terrible roar.
I wouldn't bet money on it,
Puck said as he freed his sword. Then he turned and raced down the path. Everyone followed until they came to the ancient house. Once there, Sabrina could see the door had been ripped off its hinges and tossed aside.
Children, you are to keep your distance from Mr. Canis, Granny said.
I came here to fight, Puck complained.
Granny ignored him. She turned to Daphne and smiled.
Are you ready?
Daphne held up the kazoo and nodded. Granny turned to the house and called out to Mr. Canis. There was no response, so she called out to the wolf. A moment later, the hulking creature stomped through the doorway. He dragged a kicking and screaming Hatchet behind him.
Well, 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 the wolf said. If it isn't everyone's favorite family, the Grimms. And look, you've brought friends. Good. I'm famished.
Let Hatchet go,
Granny begged. The wolf laughed.
Prelda, you really do make me laugh. You truly don't understand me. I am a beast, and I must do beastly things. You tried to help Canis keep me locked up, but I'm free now, no longer bound by the old man's chains. I'm back in action, and I'm eager to spill some blood.
I know that Mr. Canis is still in there, Granny said.
The wolf chuckled.
You're right, Relda. If only you'd come closer. Reach out to me. Take my hand. Maybe you could coax him out. Come on, give it a try. See what happens.
Let the man go,
Robin Hood shouted. He had an arrow trained on the wolf. Hatchet squealed and begged for someone to save him.
Can you believe this guy? He built this place to honor his bravery, the wolf said. The brave hero who destroyed me is sobbing like a baby.
Wolf, I'm going to give you one last chance to stop this now,
Granny said sternly. The wolf raised his eyebrows in surprise.
Relda, you're threatening me?
I'm serious.
We should talk about this,
the wolf said, looking at Howard Hatchet.
Just let me finish my lunch.
He opened his jaws wide and bit down hard on Hatchet's arm. The man cried out in agony.
Daphne, do it,
Granny said as she stepped aside. Daphne placed the kazoo in her mouth and blew a long, fuzzy note. The wind appeared from nowhere, blasting through the surrounding trees and sending leaves and branches flying in all directions. The wolf released Hatchet and glared at the little girl.
That belongs to me,
he growled and leaped forward. He was nearly on top of Daphne when Robin's arrow sank into the wolf's arm. He howled in pain and pulled it out. He continued toward the little girl, but was knocked to his knees when Little John pounded him on the back with his staff. Puck leaped into the air and landed on the wolf's shoulders, standing. With his sword, he smacked the beast on the top of its head, and then he backflipped out of the way. None of this had much effect on the monster, and the beast lunged forward once again. This time, the wolf pinned Daphne to the ground. The little girl kept blowing into the kazoo, but the desired effect was either not working or taking too long. All Sabrina could think to do was jump on the wolf's back. She punched and kicked, driving her limbs into the monster's tough hide with all she had. She could hear him laughing, maybe at her efforts, but maybe also at the fear in Daphne's face. He opened his mouth and revealed his horrid teeth and prepared to sink them into Sabrina's sister when the wind wrapped around him. It was almost visible, the snake-like clinging. Once it was tightly around the monster, it began to pull. The wolf snarled and struggled, as if he had gotten caught in a hunter's trap. He cursed Daphne, bellowed threats, swore he'd tear her limb from limb. But the wind prevented him from harming her. Sabrina, too, was helpless in the blustery cage. She did her best to let go of the wolf, but she was firmly locked in the wind's grip. And then, the writhing shadow creature was pulled out of Canis. Like Red Riding Hood's, it was horrible, but this one was more the shape of a wolf, snapping and spitting, with foam dripping from its jaws. It hovered above them, howling and screaming, helpless in the magic of the wind. Sabrina looked down and realized that she was no longer clinging to the wolf. Lying on the ground beneath her was Mr. Canis. He was unconscious, but breathing.
Sabrina! Try to break free!
Granny cried, but nothing Sabrina did seemed to help. All she could do was look into the shadow creature's terrible eyes. It howled in her face, and then she felt an odd sensation, as if the wind had blown through her, like it had seeped into her skin. The wind disappeared, and all was calm. She looked around for the monster, hoping someone had captured it.
Where did it go?
She said, though her voice sounded odd, deep and scratchy. But the rest of her body felt wonderful, strong and fast and unstoppable.
In fact, Sabrina had never felt as confident as she did at that moment. For the first time in a long time, she wasn't worried about monsters, villains, or lunatics. She didn't fear surprise attacks or betrayal by people she trusted. In fact, she was eager for a confrontation. She wanted to share the feeling with her sister, but the words were hard to find. Her thoughts were cloudy and complicated. She tried to say something, but it came out sounding like a horrible, hungry laugh. She turned to Daphne. The little girl was undergoing her own transformation. A swirling black fog circled her body, blocking out most of her face. All Sabrina could see were the little girl's eyes, like two brilliant suns.
"Sabrina! You have to stop this!" Granny cried.
Sabrina was confused. What did the old woman mean? She wasn't doing anything wrong.
"Sabrina, please! Don't make me do this to you!"
Daphne begged from behind the black fog.
"What are you talking about?"
Sabrina said, noticing the shiny toy in her sister's hand.
"You have to fight this," Daphne said. "I know you are still in there. Don't let him control you."
"Have you lost your mind? Why are you talking to me like this?"
Sabrina asked. When no one replied, she realized that her words were only in her head.
"Fight him, child," a voice said from below.
And Sabrina glanced down. Mr. Canis lay at her feet, old and withered, his body trapped in the clutches of a huge fur-covered paw. It was squeezing the life from the old man's chest. She cried out, hoping someone would help her pull her friend from its terrible grip, but her cries ceased when she realized the claws that were killing Mr. Canis were her own. She had become the big bad wolf. She stomped into the house and found a dingy mirror on the wall. One look sent her into shock. Her whole body had been transformed. Her long blonde hair was gone, replaced by thick, matted fur that covered her entire body. Her hands were huge, and the fingers curled into horrible claws. She spun around and found a bushy tail behind her. It was insanity. How could this have happened? She roared angrily and then smashed the mirror in front of her.
"I'll fix this," Daphne said from behind her.
Sabrina turned to look at the little girl, unsure of who she was or what she wanted. Seeing her made Sabrina hungry. She imagined grabbing the girl, and no, she knew she had to fight her impulse, but how could she? Her need, her hunger, was overwhelming. And then the wind returned, and everything went black. When Sabrina awoke, she was back to her normal self. She lay in the bed in the little wooden house that Red Riding Hood's grandmother had slept in hundreds of years before. Standing near her was her family. Daphne was crying and wiping the tears on her sleeve. Mr. Canis was there, too. In his hand, he held a glass mason jar. Inside, Sabrina could see a dark, black creature desperate to escape. Briar, Snow, and Charming were there, as well as Robin and Little John and the rest of the merry men.
"How are you feeling, child?" Canis asked.
"Normal," Sabrina said, examining her arms to make sure they were free of fur. Canis chuckled.
"It's a wonderful feeling."
"Is it over?"
she asked him.
He nodded. "In a manner of speaking."
Granny Relda bent down and felt her forehead.
"You've had quite a day,"
the old woman said, as the air filled with sirens.
"Here comes Nottingham," Robin said. "So, are we decided?"
Charming and Canis looked one another in the eye and then shook hands.
"Yes," they said.
"What's going on?"
Sabrina said. Charming and Canis were usually bitter enemies.
"I'm afraid that, after you and your family, we've become Ferryport Landing's most wanted," Charming said.
"Right where we belong," Little John bellowed.
Canis smiled slightly.
"We're going to have to hide out for a while."
"There are places in the mountains where no one will find us," Snow said.
You're going too?
Sabrina asked the teacher. Snow nodded, then turned to Charming.
Someone has to look after this bunch of troublemakers.
I won't be far,
Canis said to Granny.
I know, old friend.
One of the merry men raced into the room.
They're coming down the path.
Canis finally turned to Puck.
You're in charge, boy.
Haven't I always been?
Puck said.
Then we're off, Robin said. Don't worry, people. You're going to like the forest.
The merry men, Charming, Snow White, and finally Mr. Canis left the shack. Canis turned back for one moment.
You say my name was Tobias Clay?
Sabrina nodded.
I'm very eager to get to know him,
he said. Then he was gone. Nottingham dragged the family in for questioning, but after several hours he released them. Despite his anger, he had no proof that anyone in the Grimm family had been responsible for freeing Canis, killing Bluebeard, or inciting the riot. Still, he made it clear that soon he would have all of them at the ends of nooses. Uncle Jake dropped Briar Rose off at her coffee shop and promised to call later. She smiled and whispered something into his ear. He grinned like a child on Christmas morning and watched her walk away.
What did she say?
Daphne asked.
She said she is in love with me.
Barf!
Puck cried. When they pulled into the driveway, Sabrina was startled to see Nurse Spratt standing on the front porch.
Nurse Spratt! Granny cried when she got out of the car. We're very sorry we're late. We were detained by the sheriff.
Nurse Spratt was finishing off a meatball sandwich and seemed quite content.
No problem, Mrs. Grimm. I hope you aren't in any trouble.
Trouble is practically our middle name,
Granny said.
I brought the girl. She's around here somewhere. Oh, here she comes,
Spratt said, gesturing to the side of the house. There, Sabrina was shocked to see Red Riding Hood bounding around the corner with Elvis in tow.
Is this your doggie?
Red asked.
He's so much fun.
Elvis licked the girl happily.
What is she doing here?
Sabrina asked.
Granny knelt down to eye level with Red. She's coming to stay with us.
What?
Mr. Canis asked us to look after her while he's away, and I think it's a wonderful idea. Red needs some friends while she works on her memory.
Red smiled at the girls.
But she tried to kill us, Sabrina said.
Sabrina, don't hold a grudge.
Granny gave Red Mr. Canis' bedroom and promised that she would take the child shopping the next day for some more modern clothing. Sabrina followed her sister up to their room, tired as a dog, but Daphne did not enter the room. She went into Granny's and closed the door. It broke Sabrina's heart. Winning her sister's respect back was going to take a lot of work. She went to bed, but without Daphne, the room seemed huge and lonely. She tossed and turned, and though she was exhausted, she couldn't sleep. After a while, she decided to visit her parents. She opened the door and found them there, still soundly slumbering on the queen-size bed. She crawled in between them and closed her eyes. She heard Mirror clear his throat and knew his face had appeared in the reflection.
"Want to see where Goldilocks is?" he asked.
Sabrina fought back a tear.
"No, we're done looking. She doesn't want to come back. Not that I can blame her, really. If I could get out of this town, I might never come back."
"I know exactly how you feel, Starfish," Mirror said.
Sabrina watched his face disappear. She reached over and kissed her father on the cheek, then did the same to her mother. Her kisses weren't magical. They wouldn't wake Henry and Veronica. But maybe they made a difference to her parents. They certainly made a difference to her. She closed her eyes and drifted to sleep. Sometime in the night, Sabrina heard a knock on the door downstairs. She climbed out of bed and went down the steps, wondering who could be visiting at such a late hour. Perhaps it was Puck. He was known to forget his keys. Or maybe Red had decided to have a look around and had gotten locked out. She reached for the doorknob with one hand and rubbed the sleep out of her eyes with the other. When she opened the door, she gaped at what she saw. There were three enormous brown bears on the porch, one in a hat and tie, a second in a purple polka-dotted dress, and the third in a Cleveland Indians baseball cap. Two of the bears stood nearly 8 feet tall, while the smallest was just a few inches over Sabrina's height. Then, a fourth person pushed her way to the front. She had freckles across her nose, a bronzed tan, big green eyes, and blonde curls the color of precious metal.
"Goldilocks?" Sabrina gasped.
The woman nodded.
"Sorry I'm late. I had to pick up a few friends. This town is dangerous, you know."
Goldilocks smiled.
"So, I hear someone in this house needs a kiss."